Gracious Father in heaven, blessed be thy holy name. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for today. And thank you, O Father, Lord, for the wonderful blessing, O Lord, that you have bestowed upon us in Christ Jesus. And for all the benefits, O Lord, that is listed out and are found in the sacred scriptures of yours, that how that thou art the Lord, the healer of all our diseases, thou art the Lord that provides all our every needs. And then, Lord, you even promise that we have to do is that to cast all our cares upon you. And the many, many wonderful benefits and promises, O Lord, that is given us. We thank you, Father. And we want to ask for your blessing even now, Lord, even as we approach thy word, that you come into our presence now, Lord, and break the bread of life to us. For we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. And before we go to the book of Acts, where we left off, let us go to look at two verses of scriptures. Alright, the book of Luke, chapter 8, 18. Verses of scripture that we have read on Friday. When we look into it, the book of Luke 8:18. It says here, take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not from him shall be taken even that which he hath. He seems to have. So the word that I want you to take note is the first phrase in the scripture, in the verse. Take heed therefore how you hear. To the book of Mark 4:24. Mark 4:24, and it says here, almost likewise the same, but differently. He said to them, take heed what you hear, for what measure you mete, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Take heed what you hear. So now there are two statements. But both of them slightly different. Take heed how you hear. Take heed what you hear. Now, many times we all know that it's always been a problem how people hear things. And in what way they hear it. And also what they are hearing. Now, the same thing applies to take heed how you read your scripture, how you read a sermon, or how you read a message. Right? And take heed what you read. Because when you read something, what are the things that you are reading? Are you reading into it? Are you reading something that you formulated from your own in your mind? How you read it and what you read. Practically, we would say, how you read it produces what you read. Or maybe what you read produces how you read your reaction. It's all linked together. How you hear something. If your mind is already set to hear only a certain particular thing, then what you are hearing is what you get. You have already a preconceived mind that you get what you want. Now, yesterday somebody sent me an email with two attachments. One was a PDF file, one was a Microsoft Windows file. And the Windows file, of course, was an email from him to me. And I don't know who this man is, but he's from the States. And he wanted me to know about some important thing, about certain prophecy. And in the book that he wrote, or the article he wrote, which was enclosed, was in a PDF file, in which he talked about God's prophecy that is given to him, about what something that is coming. I haven't really read it yet, but I was reading his letter to me. In which he said he came across my website and read some of the article and some of the things he liked, and then he started to quote some of the things I put there and tried to explain something. And of course, as usual, there was one place when he quoted something out of my article and made me say things that I didn't say. In fact, that what he quoted was said by that Cohen, you know, the Bishop Cohen, not me. But he said that, he put it, you said this, and he quoted it, and I said, why don't he get this? You know? So, you see, how do you read something? And what is your motive when you read it? Want to find out something, or do you want to find out something that you want to disagree with? Okay? And of course, he went through some articles, and and then he would take the headline or subtitle, the title of the message, and in one of them he said, where my message is, which I wrote, that says, there is no Elisha. There is no Elisha. And I asked the question, is there any Elisha or Elisha ministry after the death of Elijah, Brother Branham, right, passed away? And he put the answer, yes, there is. Because he said, there is always touch and shadow in the Bible. If there is Elijah in the Old Testament, and there is Elisha in the Old Testament, there must be one in the New Testament. You know, he's trying to prove that. There's Peter and there's Paul. You know, there's always two. Things like that. And Marshall mentioned the two witnesses. I was reading that and, he said, you'll find more in the PDF file. So I haven't read that. But I was just trying to discern, see what this man is saying. And I believe that to take Elijah, that there is one after Elijah ministry. I want to find out who that Elijah is. I haven't replied him yet, but it is interesting how people think, you know. And so it is important, therefore, as Jesus said, take heed how you hear and what you hear. How you read and what you read. Just because you read about Elijah in the Old Testament and Elisha in the Old Testament, it doesn't mean that there is an Elijah ministry. Is that right? You've got to know how to look at the types and the shadows in the Bible. You see, because Elijah ministry in this 20th century in the church was prophesied of. Is that all right? Was it not prophesied of in the Old Testament? Yes. But was Elijah's ministry prophesied of? No. You see, you understand. So if you want to take capture and shadow, be sure you know how to type it. You know, while we take Brother Abraham as a type of Moses, which of course Abraham was not prophesied of, that there was to be a Moses that would come in the New Testament age, that is to the church. Okay? Because Moses represents the law, and the church of God has nothing to do with the law in that sense, because we're living in grace. You see? But if you want to take Brother Moses as a type of, Brother Abraham as a type of Moses, from the type of Moses, because he was dubbed as the one who took the people out of Egypt. So that when we take that, we must know how to type that. And so when he took the people out of Egypt and brought them to the promised land, at the edge of the promised land, because he didn't go there, he didn't bring them in. Somebody else did, and that was Joshua. So then we want to know who Joshua therefore represent. You see, so time and shadow, a lot of people does not know typology. You see, I have learned typology since I became a Christian. I was very much interested in typology and have studied and how to look at the scripture and so on. But a lot of people just do not know how to type. And that's the reason why when I first heard Brother Abraham preach and how he used the types and shadows of the Bible, I said, this is a man who knows how to use it. You know. And it is in the type and shadow that we understand, you know, the move of the Holy Spirit in the church today. You understand? Therefore, these two verses of scripture, I want to bring it out before we continue, is to make us, everyone, in our study of the Word of God, we need to know and are very careful and discerning in what we hear and how we hear, or what we read and how we read them. You understand? The scriptures or the hearing of the Word of God minister. Alright, so now let us go to the book of Acts chapter 12 now, as you approach with this in mind. We already see how that but the church in Antioch, Paul went there and they prospered. And now We are going to chapter 12, where here we read, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to bite certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it fit, he pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after the Passover to bring him forth to the people. Now, here it was King Herod. Now, this Herod the king was not Herod the Great, the one who seek to destroy Jesus. Remember when he heard that there was one to be born a king in Judea? Okay, that this one was the son of Herod the Great. You understand? He is called Herod Antipas. Okay? Now, this Herod, of course, was a descendant of the son of King Herod the Great. He killed James, the brother of John. Now, in the Bible, you read many, there are a couple of Simon, a couple of James too. Alright? And even a couple of John. They are common names. And this James, the brother of John, they are both the son of Zebedee. And sometime in the Bible, he is known in early church as James the Great, the Greater. Because there is another James who is the James the Lesser. Okay? So now, we remember the time when Jesus talked about the baptism. Are you able to take the baptism that I will go through? And they say yes. And this is exactly what happened. You see, that James faced death in the truth that he held on to and fulfilled right to the end. He was willing to die. So Herod took him and executed him. You know. So don't think that death is something to fear. All these apostles and the Christians in those days are willing to lay down their life, because Christ would pick it up and give it back to you. Okay? And so this Herod found that it pleased those Jewish people who were against those who were converted to Christ. So he seeked to address Peter, and he got him and put him in the prison and was watched by four groups of soldiers. So they wait until the Passover day where he will execute him. Now in the King James, it is the only Bible that you'll find that translate the Passover and put it the word as Easter. There's no such thing as Easter in those days. Okay, back in those times. Because this book was translated during King James time. And it was already past the period of the Roman Catholic rule in Europe. And so the Easter cream somehow was in the mind of the person, you know, a translator just sort of blending together with the Passover. And this is how subtle, the subtlety of the devil, in, you know, putting words to make it as if it's the same. Just like we said, the Son of God, the Roman Catholic Church or the Roman world at that time, they worshipped the Sun God. So they said, you see, you have the Son of God, we have the Sun God. So things like that, how they use that to bring about
unification.
Not really unification. When you mix the truth with the Word of God, you mix some religion, a pagan religion, with the Word of God. So that the subtlety is to bring it together in such a way that you think, oh, this is the truth. But it's falsehood altogether. Alright? A lie, actually, we'll say. And people think it's truth. You see, so the word Easter should be translated Passover. So you can take your pen and pen or whatever it is, cancel the word Easter and put the word Passover there. And that's what I do with my Bible. Some word that are not supposed to be translated or translated wrong, I just cancel it out, put the correct translation into the Word of God. So Peter was then locked up in the prison, but the rest of this chapter he was locked up in prison, and the church were praying, and the Lord sent the angel. Now you just imagine that, you know, Peter was well guarded. Even in prison, where he was in, his hand was chained. Okay, Boaz, he said, was chained to a soldiers. You know, and there were soldiers standing outside the gate, and also in the outer part of the main prison. And you know what? The angel came right in. And when, you know, the soldier was sleeping, and everybody, all the soldiers went to sleep. And the angel woke up Peter, and the shackle dropped off from his arm, and told Peter to go out. He passed the door and went out. And the angel led him to the one of the road. And the angel, from there on, the angel said, you go. And the angel just disappeared. Now, you think of miracles, huh? You know, and you know what happened? These soldiers later on, they were executed by Herod. How could it be possible that a man walk out of prison? You know, but that is what God did for Peter. Now, when he come to the, when Peter, when he came, he went to the house to look, when they left the prison, he went to the house of Mary. Verse 12, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Now here, just to let you know, when you study the scripture, because I believe many of us don't think much of it. Here was a man called John, whose surname was Mark. Here was a John. This John is not John the Beloved. Alright, this John is not the brother of James. Okay, the one that was executed. Here was a John. And the word John is a Hebrew word. Alright, Yohanan. It's a Hebrew word. Mark is Marcus, which is a Greek word. So in those days, a lot of names were used, just like Simon. Okay, Simon. You know who Simon was? Peter, right? We all know him as Peter. But Peter was not his real name. It was given by Jesus to him, and in Greek is Petros. Right? But his name was Simeon in Hebrew. But in the Greek, they pronounce as Simon. So Simon Peter, Hebrew, and Peter is Greek. So in those days, a lot of, because they were living in a Roman world, in a Hellenistic culture, so many of them will have Greek name. Just like Zoel, his name is also Hebrew, one side. Oh, well, the first one, Zoel, is Greek, and El is Hebrew. So many people have Greek and Hebrew names altogether. All right. And so when he came over there, now this Mark, the other thing about this Mark here, this John Mark, he was the one that wrote the book called Mark, most likely. Okay, because there is a book called, there is a gospel called Mark, and it is believed this has to be John Mark who wrote it. And who was he? He was the son of Mary, not, I mean, as you know, there are several Mary too. Okay, but this Mary was related to somebody, well, we all know, known as Barnabas, whose first name was actually called Joseph, to begin with, or Joseph. Right? You see, and she was believed to be, Mary was believed to be the sister of this Barnabas. And Barnabas was a rich man, as you know, he sold his property. And so this Mary has a big house. So all the disciples gathered in her house. And so Peter went there and knocked at the door, and here came a damsel in verse 13, her name was called Rhoda. Rhoda means a rose. I know a lot of girls in those days like to be called, you know, by names of flowers and that sort of thing, you know. So I do not know what does the word Lucy means. We have a lot of Lucy in our church. Alright, I think 1, 2, 3, 3 or 4 Lucys, as I remember that, you know, so it's a common name. But Lucy came from the word, well, Lucifer. And Lucifer means what? Son of the morning, right? It's a beautiful creed, yes. Of course, you don't say Lucifer is Satan. Actually, he became the adversary because he fell from grace. He didn't maintain his position as Lucifer. Okay, so it's okay if you want to name your son Lucifer. And everybody will be wondering why. So sometimes the name that we take, sometimes we do not want it. But there are a lot of people that I know who call themselves Jonah. Or even the father gave the name and called the son Jonah. But we think that the Jonah sounds bad. Huh? But Jonah is a good name. Alright, anyway, Just how that when the Bible mentioned a certain person's name in history, if you ever looked up, they must have played some important part. So everyone in this world came down and heard the voice of Peter and knew that it was Peter. He said, open the doors. He was so excited, he went right back and told them. And you know what they said in verse 15? They said to her, oh, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. They then said that it is his angels. Now this is where we have lots of people in the end time message, Brother Branham especially. They talk about the theophany of Brother Branham being in, the angel was Brother Branham's theophany. Which is not true. In those days, when they said this is angel, they said that there was the angel that came that looks like Peter. And you know what? Every one of us has at least one angel who take care of us. Because the Bible says the angels are God ministering spirits to us. And you know, if the angels are given to you to keep watch over you, it's just like this. It has been said, when a man or woman married, after a while, they all kind of look alike. You always believe that? I don't know, they kind of look alike. Oh, look at right Henry and Sister Joe, they kind of look alike. I think they kind of look alike when they grow old. Because everything is wrinkled, they all look kind of alike. Not when you're young. You know, but it has always been believed by the Jew when you talk about it is his angel, he's talking about an angel that looked like Peter. You see. But anyway, Rada says, no, it is. And so they went down, and there it was, Peter came. And in verse 17, verse 16, when Peter called in knocking, when they had opened the door, they saw him, they were astonished. But he invited unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go, show this thing unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. So who is this James now? Not James, the brother of John, because he's already killed. Okay, this was James the lesser. And he is James, the son of Alphaeus. Okay, one of the apostles. Okay, this mentioned. You see. So, then to go and inform James. And James was then, of course, at that time, the head. Alright, of Jerusalem. They call him the bishop. Alright. Now remember those days in Jerusalem itself, the apostles were there. But James sort of having the ability to sort of lead. So they looked to him as, oh, take charge. You know, and everything need to be known according to whatever happened to the church, they will always inform him. Alright, so go to James and to the brethren, and he departed. And as soon as he was there was no small stir among the soldiers that were become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him, he found him not. He examined the keeper and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea, and there abode. Now, then Herod put the soldier to death. He went down to Caesarea, as the American word called, as I say, Caesarea. Alright, Caesarea. Now, he went up there. The next few verses describe about Herod's death. Why? When he went there, as the Bible here said, Herod was greatly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, whatever the problem he had with them, the king and the people there, or the governor. So when he went there, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desire peace, because the country was nourished by the king's country. And upon the set day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne, and make an oration unto them. And the people give a shout, saying, it is the voice of God and not of man. Now when Herod appeared before the people, they started to talk and give them a lecture. The way he speak about, the way he talks. People say, oh, this is not the man, this is God. And Herod lived himself up in such a prison to be worshipped. And so much so the Bible said that immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worm and gave up the ghost. Remember this Herod, he was a converted, a proselyted into Judaism. You see. And whether he's a true believer or not in Judaism is immaterial. But once you are supposed to be a Jew, into Judaism, he's supposed to give God the glory. Like any of us Christians. Anybody who considers himself a Christian do not give God the glory for anything, you have to reckon with God. Right? You see? Because you are taking his name. and you take his name in vain, what will happen? You see. Now, you all have seen the video clip that I showed in time past. You know this preacher called Popov? Alright? And a few others. Do you know Popov is still very active? You see, in some part of the States. Now, he has a way of sneaking around and still lie to people and do all kinds of tricks, you know, and consider himself great prophets, you know, man of God with some gifts and this and that and all sorts of baloney. You know. And what, I mean, a lot of people don't fear God at this time. You know, God at this time, he doesn't act the way he acted back in those days. Then and there he will smoke a person. Right? Yes. You know. But considering that you wait until the day of your judgment, what will God do to you? And you can stand there and say, Lord, I'm a believer. Oh, you are a believer. Tell the apostle, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And if you have the Holy Ghost since you believe, then why are you acting the way you act? There's no excuse. You have took my name in vain. You know. So a lot of Christians will be very disappointed. They think that they believe. Do you know what? You can be justified and be satisfied by your no Holy Ghost filled, and then you have no eternal life. Don't forget that. But if you really have the Holy Ghost, then you are justified and sanctified. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost, there is no way that you can say that you have eternal life. Justification, sanctification does not lead you to eternal life. It's only the step. You have to take the third step. You know what I mean by justify? Yeah, means you have no sin, right? Go and sin no more. You are justified. You know. You can get baptized and cleansed. Yes, you are sanctified. But you need to get the Holy Spirit of life. God can forgive you your sin. Right? But if you don't have it, you don't have the Holy Ghost in your life, you don't have eternal life. You see. That's the reason why Paul asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? See, it's not about speaking in tongues, not because you shake the pastor's hand, as Barbara used to say, a lot of churches say, or the pastors say, oh yeah, you're a fine brother and fine sister, you know, good, nice, wonderful Christian. And make sure that he doesn't say that to please you, you know, and make sure that you yourself know that you are born again. And just a few weeks ago, I still have received an email, brother God, how do I know that I'm born again? You see, the same question keeps coming up among people, among Christians, followers, believers, and yet they don't know whether they are born again. How do I know I'm born again? You see. So if you do not know you are born again, you ask this question, it means you don't know whether you are or not. It's better for you to go on your knees and seek the Holy Spirit until He comes and witness to you that you are His child. As simple as that. You know. But the church will say, the Bible said so, John 3:16, believe all of Jesus and thou shalt be saved. That's it. Believe. Well, John 3:16. Believe what the Bible said. Yeah. What the word believe means. You know the devil also believed that verse? You know that, don't you? Yes. And the Bible says he trembled. Believing what God said there doesn't mean that you are saved. Whether you act upon it, it's a different thing. Right? The word believe from the Greek word pist, means to say 100% surrender to know to this person who is going to be your savior. And upon every instruction he said, you act upon it. Now let's say you are down in the sea, you are drowning in the sea, you don't know how to swim. Here a lover come to save you, swim to you, right? Now you are grabbing him because you want to survive, you are pushing him down, you are grabbing on him, and he's going to push you away. Right? Then he's going to tell you what to do, and you have to obey. Isn't that so? That's the way it is. So if you want to be saved, you have to totally depend upon the instruction of the person who is your savior. If not, they say, I believe you, life God, I believe you. And then when you say, okay, do this, you don't, and then you start pushing him down, grabbing him, and all desperation. And you're not going to be saved. So we need to know the importance, as I said, how you read and what you read in the Bible to understand the meaning of it. Don't just pick up John 3:16, because we know in Singapore there's a lot of people who go to charismatic to pick up John 3:16 and 10, 20 years down the road they go back to the world. Right? And you ask them, why do you change? Oh, when I was in charismatic for the last 10, 20 years, it was fun. What do you mean by fun?
Oh, there I met my wife, you know. Yeah, it was fun. Nice, wonderful, you know, music and fun, wonderful. You know. But they are not born again, you see. They are there for the good time, what they enjoy. The flesh, the music, whatever. Socializing. Alright. So verse 24, and so Herod was put to death by the Lord's word, by the angel. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, chapter 13 here, now, there were in the church there was an Antioch. Now, where is Antioch? We want to look at the map to look at this Antioch. Okay, now, as you all know, that there are a couple of different Antioch here. This Antioch here is this Antioch, right here, in Syria. Okay, this Antioch here. You don't have to move it right to the center. Okay, just push it, push this Antioch all the way up, up here. No, no, move this Antioch position up here. Okay, bit down. Bit down, bit down, bit down, bit down, bit more, bit more. Oh! Okay, that's good. So this is Antioch now. This is Syria over here. Okay, Sicilia is here. Okay, Tarsus is here. I want you to know this place. Now Jerusalem is down south, of course you know. Okay, just put it on here and we'll go. I want you to know that that is the Antioch where Paul begin, always begin his journey. Okay? Alright. So now that was in the church, that was in the church that was at Antioch. Certain prophets and teachers. Now I want to say this now. Regardless of what the churches out there teach you, what denomination can teach you, okay, they don't have an inkling of how the Spirit of God works. So when they say the word prophet and teacher, it means, oh yeah, this is a preacher. Prophet means preacher, teacher means they teach, you know, and things like that. Okay, now I already told you and I show you that when the church first started, they started with apostles. Is that right? Isn't. Because there were 12 apostles, so they start preaching on the day of Pentecost, and the church will fall. And of course, then they were all elderly people, you know, more matured, and then there were those that were converted, they came in, and so the church started. So, there was no pastor yet, in that sense, but the apostles were their pastors. You understand that? And they were also elders. Okay? And so in Jerusalem then you have James, as the church grew, of course James became the one to oversee, presiding over the congregation of believers. Alright, now here the Bible mentioned about prophets. Now we already seen that we have Philip being an evangelist. Is that alright? So now you have apostle, then you have the evangelist. Okay, then here now the Bible mentioned prophets and teachers. Prophet and teacher are two ministries that always go well hand in hand. Okay, prophetic ministry here, they have the gift of prophecy. But also at the same time, there are one who always follow up, okay, to a church that has been established, sometimes to go out there to confirm the word of God being preached to them by the apostles. So here we have in the church there was an Antioch, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas, Simeon, they were called Niger, and Lucia of Cyrene, and Manaen, or Manan, this is a Greek translation, this Manahem, which of course is a Hebrew word, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. So this Manahem of course is brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, believed that he was, you know, raised up as a brother or a foster brother to Herod. There's a lot of opinion, and was therefore it was in the home or the palace of Herod the king. And then there was Saul as well. So Saul's name now is mentioned here now. Okay, so now Saul, where was Saul? What happened? Who was Saul? We all know that he was one who opposed or persecuted the Christian. Then he became a convert. So what year is it now? How many years have passed? Do you know? It probably would have been about 3-4 years past now. Huh? Okay? So, Saul was mentioned. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I have called them. So I want you to know that they come together, they pray and they fast. And the Holy Spirit move among them. And the Holy Spirit says, "Sabra unto me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work that I have for them." Now, here is a calling that is not, it is of God. A calling that is of God. That is, today we have a lot of preachers who, well, God didn't call. They call themselves through the ministry or the denomination or the organization call them through the ministry. I know I came up from the Examples of God Church. I knew some of the, you know, young men in the church all those years, very close, and some of them, I know that I felt like to be a pastor and go to the ministry. So they went to the Bible school. After 3-4 years, they came out, they do a pastor a little bit. After that, a year or two, you don't see them anymore. What happened? They went back to work in the world. So why do you waste their time of 3-4 years in the Bible college and come up with a piece of paper and then it's one? You see, if you are not called of God, how can you ever be a preacher? If God didn't call you, you cannot do a thing. Because if He didn't give you the gift, you think that you are able to do it. And here in Singapore, we have a lot of them like that. And here we have preachers who thought that they are called of God, and they all have to do is to take the books of Brother Branham and say what Brother Branham said and make them think that they are a great preacher. Huh? You see, here are these apostles. They are still waiting on God. All the years of the Holy Spirit, they depend upon the Lord. They come, they pray together, they fast together, and the Holy Spirit says, "Separate unto me Saul and Barnabas, because I have a certain work for them. Separate them unto me." So Saul and Barnabas now were separate. Remember, Saul and Barnabas, they were prophets and teachers. Remember that. And Saul, at that time, you remember at the council, when we read early on, over in chapter, let me see, in his conversion, how that the believer were even afraid of him and could not believe that he was truly a believer. But he was, and he remained very steadfast all those years, without argument or all this, but he just showed his case and he proved his word by going out and minister as well. Is that right? So at that time when he's ministering, he was not an apostle, he was just a prophet and a teacher. Well, he had this gift. You know, a prophecy of discerning of the gift or whatever he had, God had given him. So now he was separated together with Barnabas and they set sail in verse 3, when they fast and pray, they lay on them, they send them away. So they being sent for by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So, okay, let us look at the map. This is the journey of the Apostle Paul. Alright, at this time of course, he wasn't known yet as an apostle as yet. Okay, but when he began this journey, that's when God already told them, "Separate unto me Saul and Barnabas," because well, he's sending them on a mission, and they became apostles, going out to establish churches. Okay, so what we have from here in Antioch, he came down over here to Cilicia, and then from here he sailed over to Salamis, then over to Paphos, over here, in Cyprus. As you read here, when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of the Lord in the synagogue of the Jew, and they had also John to their minister, and that is John Mark, was with them. And that is fiction later on because of him. Alright. So they went over there, Salamis to Cyprus, and preached there. And then they go over to verse 6 to Paphos, where they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus. Now, sounds, the word Bar is a Syriac word, a word from Syria. Alright? Okay? Bar. Which is equivalent to the Hebrew word Ben, means son. So Bar Jesus means son of Jesus. And as I said, this thing, the word Jesus is a Greek, an English translation from the Greek word Isuos, which of course comes from the Hebrew word Joshua. Okay, so it's Bar Joshua. Okay, and so Joshua is a very common name. The name of Jesus is called, in Hebrew is Joshua or Yahshua. Okay, so the word, the name Jesus is very common. You understand that? If you go to Spain, in Mexico, you got a lot of Jesus, huh? A lot of them call Jesus, but it's written as Jesus, but they're pronounced as Jesus. I want you to know that. Because you understand, a lot of people don't realize. For example, the name James, it's a Greek word. But it came from the Hebrew word, anybody know? Yaakov. Okay? Yaakov is Hebrew, James is Greek. Same name. But if you go to Spain or Mexico, the name James becomes San Diego. Completely no way off. You understand? So that's how names are. Like my name, Richard. Well, you go to Spain or Italy, what is my name? Ricardo. You understand? So that's all the name changes, you see. So here we have, here was this guy, his name was called Bar-Jesus, and which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word. But Elymas, of course that was his name in the Greek and how it was interpreted, the sorcerer withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. You see, the deputy Sergius Paulus called for Barnabas and Saul, want to hear this word they were hearing, you know, out in the streets. They reached their ears, so they want to know more. So when he called for Saul and Barnabas, this false prophet, you know, this sorcerer, you know, he being a deceiver, working for this rich man, of course, you know, he wanted to also be recognized as preeminent and also want to get whatever he could. He was not happy. And when Paul and Saul was there, now verse 9, now I want you to look at verse 9. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. So now, when Paul was there, he looked at him, he saw his discerned what kind of person he was. But I want to ask you this question here. The Bible here says Saul, also called Paul. Now from now on, you will never hear the word Saul anymore. From now on, Saul is Paul. Paul is no longer Saul. Okay? You got it? Yeah. So, you want to know, when did this name change? Why is the name mentioned? I wonder, why was Saul Paul at this time? Mentioned here in this verse. So, a lot of people don't know how this name was given him. Who gave him this name? And I began to look at it, and I realized that it could be given by this particular deputy of the country. Because his name was Sergius Paulus. I call it, the word Sergius means, in the word, it means, translated, it means Roman. Okay, Sergius means, in translation, means Roman. Now I have a cousin, by my mother's side. Okay, one of his sons is called Roman. So I always wonder why, you know, when I was young, why was he called Roman? So I was thinking maybe because they're all Catholic, the other side. They were Catholic. You know, I was thinking, oh, maybe they're Roman Catholic, so their son is called Roman. You know, Roman Catholic come from Roman, and Rome anyway. You know, so that's all I think. And here was Sergius, you know, Paulus. So I wonder whether because, you know, when Paul preached then, and wonderful thing was done in that place, and I wonder, you know, whether this Paulus believed or not, the Bible did not really say, you know, because he was astonished at the doctrine. But if he did believe, then he could have changed, you know, told Paul, your name be Paul or something like that. So I was wondering whether that would relate to this particular time, because it was mentioned here. Alright, because we don't know who gave the name Paul to Saul anyway. That was kind of interesting. And verse 10, and Saul spoke to the man and said, Paul said, oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all unrighteousness, would thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a little while, for a season, for some time. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believe being astonished at the doctrines of the Lord. So okay, apparently he believed here. Okay, so if he is a real convert here, people probably will say, Paul, you know, Saul changed the name to Paul because he was Paulus. For all reason. Alright. And when Paul and his companion lose for purpose, see, from now on, in purpose, Paul is always called Paul now. So that's why I believe it must be something to do with this man called Serious Paul. So, when he departed from purpose, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departing with them returned to Jerusalem. Alright, that's where this place called Perga in Pamphylia. Let us look. Alright. They migrated, they departed from here, they went over to this place. Okay? Perga or Pamphylia here. Alright. Now, when Paul and Barnabas left to go there, John Mark returned to Jerusalem. And that's what upset Paul later on. Okay? He left and go back. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch. Now from there, they went to Antioch and Pisidia. Okay? From here, they went up to Antioch or Pisidia. So now you understand that there are two Antioch mentioned in the Bible. Okay? One is right over here in Syria, and one is over here. Antioch of Syria, Antioch of Pisidia. Okay? Of Pisidia. Alright. And so they went to the synagogue. That's the only place that they will go to preach. Most of the time they will go to the synagogue. Because that is where the people would gather on Sabbath day and to learn the word of God in the synagogue. Here you go to the ruler of the synagogue, the one in charge, the rabbi, whatever it may be. He will go up to the pulpit or a table, whatever, and he will take the scroll. And they will always read the scroll. And then he will sit down and sometimes he will call a young man, you know, someone of age, a student, come up, take whatever he wants to read from the scroll, any of the scroll he would take, and then he would read and perhaps give a little sermon on it. Alright, so Paul and Barnabas were there. So when they went there, they were reading, after the reading, verse 5:15, after the reading of the law and the prophets means, remember when we say reading the prophet means reading the scroll of the prophet. All those 39 books, including the law of Moses, they are called the laws and the prophets. Okay? So when you read the law of Moses or read the prophetic books, the rulers of the synagogue then say unto Barnabas and Saul and Paul, if you have any word of exhortation for a people, say on. So Paul stood up and started to preach the message. Now he started to preach about Jesus Christ, beginning from the time of Moses. Okay, how that they came out of Egypt and went to the Canaan land and conquered the seven nations, and then land was divided, but the children of Israel desired for the king, so they give them a king Saul, a man called Saul, and so on and so forth, and they came down all the way to King David. How that from King David that he desired to build a temple. Alright, so Paul began to relate all these events that are in the scripture, that is well known. And then he continued to say that how that God, according to his promise, raised up Israel a savior called Jesus in verse 23. And that when John had first preached before his coming, John the Baptist, that is, how that God sent John the Baptist, and then Jesus Christ came along. Now, then he said, verse 26, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fear God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophet which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. So now they were at, well, where were they at? They were at Antioch, isn't it? In Pisidia. Now the people that he preached to were Jews as well as those proselytes. Alright, those who were Gentiles were converted to Judaism. Paul was telling them, he said, you know what? Of course, Jesus' ministry was in Judea. And yet, he said, those rulers who dwell in Jerusalem, they did not know him. They knew him not. The voice, even the voices of the prophet which they read every Sabbath day, they used to say that every Sabbath they take the scroll of all these various prophets especially Isaiah, of course. They read it, and yet they did not comprehend what the prophets were talking about. You see? And so what? They condemned him. They condemned Christ. So Paul began to preach about these things, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desired that he should be slain. And so all this was fulfilled, and God raised him from the dead. Now while he was preaching this great tidings, quoting all the various scriptures, as you see, now we come to verse 38. Be known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that though this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified but the law of Moses. Now remember, that is very true. Okay, the law will never be able to justify them, because whatever they have done, fulfill what God said, one moment they are justified because they pay, carry out the ritual. They offer their sin offering and all of this. But next moment they go out of the temple or out of the tabernacle, they do the same thing again. So the law cannot justify them. Alright? Beware therefore lest death come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers and wander and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though the man declared it unto you. Oh, you see, when God did a work, he did not recognize. That's what Paul warned about this. Now, brothers and sisters, we live in this last age. God sent a prophet among us. How many Christian people in the world saw the work of God? Saw the hand of God through that man to bring about a message. You see, when the same thing in the days just before Jesus, when God sent John the Baptist, how many people recognized that this was a prophet of God sent to them? When he pointed to the Messiah, they still do not believe. And when Jesus came in, he did those miracles and the word that he preached. How many of the Jews in Jerusalem, Judea, believe in this man? Now, there were religious people. When we talk about Judea and Jerusalem, there were religious people because it was the capital of Judaism. We would say. And Jesus Christ do not like to go down. He always ministered up there in Galilee. You see. So we live in this generation. Brothers and sisters, we are privileged people that God opened our eyes to see the message. Not just to see the gospel of salvation, but to know what God is doing now. And every age there is a work that God is doing. Because to bring us higher and higher up towards him. You know. And that's what the Jews in Christ's day, they rejected him. Why? They think the law was it. But grace was higher than the law, and they could not see it. You know. So they condemned the man because they hold so much to the law. And in this generation, they have condemned Brother Branham and the word that he delivered to us because they hold so much to the tradition of the church. Okay? And when the Jew was gone out of the synagogue, so of course while Paul and Barnabas was preaching, some of these religious ones were shaking their head, I cannot be true, you know, and mumble among themselves. So when everything ended, the Jew were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentile besought, these Gentiles are those who are proselyte, besought that this word might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jew and religious proselyte followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuade them to continue in the grace of the Lord. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Not the whole city means, the whole city doesn't mean all those unbelievers, but those who are supposed to be a proselyte, they are interested. You understand that? So when we say, if there is something going on here about the truth of God, and we will say that all the Christian churches, all the Christians in Singapore come down to one place. We will say the whole city of Singapore, whole nation of Singapore. You only refer to those who are believers in that. So they came and And they were very angry and speak against the things which were spoken by Paul, contrary and blasphemy. So when Paul said something, Barnabas said something of the truth. Now this religious ruler just blaspheme against it, arguing, contradicting what they spoke. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said this. It was not necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing that you put it from here, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentile. Well, Paul now was so bold to stand up. He said, you know, it was not said that God should bring this word to you, but you put upon yourself to judge yourself that you are not worth it. Right? That's more like a more very sarcastic thing. You know, Paul did not say you are unworthy to receive it, but you judge yourself that you are not one, that you are not worth it. You already condemned yourself that you are not worth it. You know, so we turn to the Gentile. Now the Bible says here, so we turn to the Gentile. Now this is not the beginning of the Gentile ministry as totally yet, because later on only we see in chapter 18, verse 6. Turn to the verse. I want you to look closely at that. 18 verse 6. Alright, and here in another place when Paul was at Corinth and Ephesus, alright, here when he was there in Macedonia, in verse 6, and when the apostles themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said to them, your blood be upon your head, I'm clean, from henceforth I will go unto the Gentile. It is only at this particular time that he completely turned himself over to minister to the Gentiles. From henceforth, I will go to the Gentile. But in this portion here in chapter 13, it is not. So because you refuse to hear, you judge yourself unworthy, well then we just turn and talk to the Gentile and just minister to the Gentile here. Okay? And for so have the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentile, that thou should be for salvation unto the end of the earth. And when the Gentile heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Hey, look at the Bible carefully, huh? Read carefully. Are you with me? What did he say here? As many as were ordained to eternal life believe. So if you were not ordained to eternal life, you won't believe. Am I right? Amen. Sure. You see, God already foreknown saw you before the world began. Right? And He have ordained you to eternal life. He have picked you, He have chosen you. So remember one thing, Christ said, you didn't choose Christ. I remember years ago, I think it was in the late 60s, before I came out from the Exams of God Church in 1971. They have this campaign, I can't remember what crusade it was. They have all this big banner going on and they give out all these stickers and whatever. I found it! You know, how many of you still remember that? Huh? You remember, John? I found it. So of course when they got giving up, people say, we found what? I found Christ. I found salvation, I found Christ. You know? So no, when I look back, or in one sense of the word, yeah, you can say you found it, but the real fact is that Christ, God found you. You know what I mean? Because He was the shepherd. Christ was the shepherd. He is the shepherd. The world looking out for the lost sheep. Isn't it? Yeah, sure. You see, I remember when Zohar was a little boy. I can't remember whether he was 2 years old or something. And we were living in Margaret Drive at that time. And, you know, my wife and took him out to the shopping mall just across the, across the field. There was this shopping mall. And, you know, to look for something, buy something. And the moment my wife let go the hand of Zohar, and look at something that she was attracted to, So I walk away. Wander away. A little boy wander away. And then wander away, so Tracy panic, you know, start calling my mom and they're looking for him. And he went down one staircase and Tracy was looking over, he went on the other side. So when he went on the staircase, he somewhat know where the home was. So he was kind of walking towards the place where a young man, a young boy, you know, a student. So he said, what are you doing? Where are you going? You know. Oh, my mother's lost. Mom lost. Mommy lost. Mommy is lost. She is not lost. Okay. And this is normally what it is. You understand? So, when the shepherd found us, everybody think that we found the shepherd. What is it? Huh? Yeah. You see, I believe there's a sheep shepherd. When you look out for the lost lamb, and when the lost lamb saw the shepherd, he'll come running, right? The public, the lost lamb, man, where were you? Man, where were you? You were lost, right? Hey. You know, so he's got a, you know, we don't think how it was the shepherd that found us. So, we didn't find anything until Christ found us. Right? Yeah, I just want to find how true it is. How many has been ordained to eternal life, believe. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. And the Jews stood up the devout and honorable woman and the chief from the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast and shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. Iconium. Alright, and he was there for a little while as we read here. When they were in Iconium, in verse 4, as they continued preaching, the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jew, and part with the apostles. See, now they were called apostles. Notice that? They were called apostles. Now, do you understand that now? Because that is not why when God had the apostles separate Saul and Barnabas unto him, and he sent them out of Antioch. On mission trip now, they're going out as apostles. Okay, so went down to Salamis, then to Paphos, and then up to Pergamum, to Antioch of Pisidia, and then he went over to Iconium. And now the word tells you that they have already been apostles. Already. The moment they set up in the apostolic mission. Okay? And when they were at Iconium and preaching the word of God, of course, there are some Jews that do not agree, with the apostles. So, there was an assault made both of the Gentile and also the Jew with all rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. And they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, city of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lie round about. And there they preached the gospel. So from there, Iconium, they went out to Lystra to Derbe. Okay, that is his journey. And as we go on, so while they were there sat a certain man at Lystra, important in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. So he was born crippled. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and you know what the Bible here said, read it, perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Now, wonder at this again. Here was a man when Paul was preaching out there in Derby, in Lystra. Now, he saw this man that was crippled from birth. Born crippled. And he saw the man and he perceived that the man had faith to be healed. Now, unlike the one that Peter healed at a temple door, at a temple gate, there was nothing mentioned about the man had faith. It was just Peter says, well, you know, you're asking for alms, I don't have any, I give you, you know, legs. So, he got healed. So you see, you wonder about how God works. There are times when it depends upon God using a vessel. There are other times when God look at the faith of the person, because he is teaching the man to have faith. And this man was born, heard the word of God, that Paul and Barnabas preached, faith was stirred up in him. You know. So, and Paul perceived that he had faith for him, and so Paul prayed for him, and he was healed. You see. And now you look at the Brother Brown ministry, as I said. You know, God used him differently. Huh? Depending on visions. and then declare, "Thus saith the Lord, you are healed." Isn't it? You see? So how God works mysterious way? It's wonders to perform. Sometimes we need to understand, it has nothing to do with us. When we are down and out, we need some healing and some blessing from the Lord, a touch from Him. Yes, we look at the Bible, we see the promise. Say, "Lord, I believe a promise. I need this." You are desperate enough, you pray, you hold to what God said. Your faith then will come. God will look at your faith and then He will do what He needs to do for you. You see? So, when Paul, this man was healed, oh, the whole city out there, when they saw all these, the people, you know, they were heathens. They worshipped Jupiter, they worshipped Mercury, and some of all these other gods. And so, you know what? They called Barnabas, in verse 12, they called Barnabas Jupiter. Paul, Mercury. Because Paul was the main speaker. You know, why Mercury? Mercury is hot, heat, high, hot, hot person. Jupiter is too far out in the cold. Yeah, maybe that's what so here was this man who spoke the most. So Paul is Mercury. So they want to worship him, you know. And when Paul and they bring all sacrifices to sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas, when Paul and Barnabas heard it, they came running to the people and told the shepherds, "No, we are human." And Paul began to tell them, "This is of God. The thing that you receive in seasons of harvest and all is the rain and the sunshine and all the blessings, they all come from the God, is the one you should worship." You know. So you know, it's the people just cannot understand it. Verse 19, you see, there came certain Jew from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now there were a group of people that followed him from Iconium. Remember? They chased him out of Iconium, so they went down to from Antioch, sorry. They chased him out of Antioch. Chased him out of Antioch to Iconium. And then from Iconium, Paul and Barnabas were the last friend there. So the people from Antioch were following Paul all the way. They were watching him and they were following him. So that gives them Jew from Antioch and Iconium. So this Jew from Antioch and from Iconium followed Paul all the way down to Derbe, stirred up the people, and because Paul was the main speaker, they stoned him. Not the people actually, the person who stoned them are these Jews, they follow him. They want to stir up trouble. So someone or few of them took stone and threw him, and perhaps one of the stone hit him on the head and he was knocked out unconscious. And they thought that he was dead. So they took him out outside the city. But when the disciple around the city and those that were following Paul, who believe in the ministry of Paul, they stood out about him, and all of a sudden Paul just got up. He was probably not unconscious for a while, got blacked out. You know, people thought he was dead. And so the Bible said, as Paul got up, the next day he departed from with Barnabas to Derbe, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and Antioch. So they backtrack now, all the way. Backtrack. Go back to, why did they go back there? Because there are some believers up there. They have to, you know, to take the opportunity to minister to them. Okay, so they're confirming the souls of the disciple, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. You understand? With much tribulation enter the kingdom. That's why they say it is not an easy road. Okay, when we go on this journey, there's a lot of tribulation, persecution, trial, suffering. People will hate you. Because we see those in Iran, those in many of these countries, they are under Islamic Sharia law. They are very strongly against Christians. You know. Fortunately here we don't have this problem, neither in Malaysia, but in some part of Indonesia there are extremists. And down in the south of the Philippines, you know, there are. You see. So when you get extreme fanatics of whatever religion it may be, even in Judaism, they want to put Paul to death. This is the same. Okay? And when they had ordained them elders in every church, you see that when they go up to Iconium, to Antioch, they will ordain elders. Elders means they have to choose among the believers there. Those who have been, you know, well-versed in the scripture, who's elderly, who knows, you know, the leading of the Lord, they pray and they ordain those elders to look after the church. You understand? There were no single pastor there in that church at all. So they ordained several elders to take care. You see? And that's why these are known as the Presbytery. The Presbyterian is why the Presbyterian church is called that way, because they have a system of elders looking after the church. Okay? And when they had ordained them out in every church and prayer fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So then verse 24, and after they passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, then they backtracked all the way again, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia. Okay, what is that? Look into this map. Now, this is the old name. The new name of Attalia is Antioch. This is the new name. Okay? That's where Attalia is. And then sailed to Antioch. Back to Antioch of Syria. Okay? Once they have been commended to the grace of the Lord for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were there, they had gathered the church together and rehearsed all to these apostles and to all the disciples. And they abode long time with the disciples there. Okay, we want to finish the next chapter quickly. And so the man which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised of the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Here, right now, this same place at Antioch. So the man, while Paul was not around, so the man came out from Jerusalem. And these are those of the sect of the Pharisees. There were Pharisees who were converted to the faith of Christ. But they still believed that you need to be circumcised. So they went off to the Antioch and to this church there in Antioch and told the people, you need to be circumcised in order to be saved. So to have faith in Christ Jesus is not enough. They are saying, it's just like the Seventh-day Adventists. It's not enough to believe in Jesus Christ for yourself. You need to keep the Sabbath day. You understand? Now we have a problem. If you want to be saved, and if salvation is by grace alone, why, how come the law comes in? And they don't seem to understand that. Because these are religious people. That's why I said it is easy for the man to come out of the world into Christ. But for the world to get out of the person, it's very hard. You understand what I'm saying? It's the same people of Christian who come into this message, and yet in the head of many Christians, they still have all this tradition. So for these Jews who are Pharisees, who are from the sect of the Pharisees, for them to convert to Christianity is easy. But all the law that they have in their head, they want to keep. They find a certain influence that they have to keep them. So because of this problem, well, Paul and Barnabas had an argument with them. No small dissension, disputation. Okay, so they went down anyway, passed through Phoenicia, Samaria, and kept on preaching the word of God, and then they come down to Jerusalem, and they were received by the apostles. Then they sat down. In verse 5, there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying, that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So there it is. When they went down there, they came on telling Paul and Barnabas, because that was Paul's area. Antioch was Paul's area. Okay, his work, his the church where he started. You know. So there this sect of Pharisees and tell Paul, these people need to be circumcised. Those who are proselyte, those who are Gentiles anyway, they are not circumcised. They need to be circumcised. So they came together and they meet and just, you know, try to far out in understanding. So this is known as the Council of Jerusalem, the first council. Now as I said this thing, when you have many heads, you have a problem. God has no intention for a council like this. But what can they do? They are human. All we are human. Okay, brother, let's sit down, let's find out what the Bible says. And so they sat down and they are debating and arguing and so forth and so forth. You know, and so Peter started to preach and Peter started to say what God had done for the Jew as well as for the Gentiles. Is that right? And then when they said this here, Paul then gave his view and Barnabas gave his account of the work that God had done. And then here in verse 30, and after they had held their peace, James, now this is James, the son of Alphaeus. Okay, sometimes he's called the brother of Jesus. Okay, in some place in the Bible he's called the brother of Jesus, but he's not actually a brother of Jesus by Joseph or Mary. He's actually sometimes referred to as brother or kin. Sometimes I will call you a brother, right? I'll call you a sister. Not necessarily you are tied to me. You know, and in Chinese, sometimes you say brother or sister could be a cousin. 表哥什么哥, right? 表弟, 表姐, all this. So it means like a sister to, but it's actually cousins. So James here is the son of Alphaeus. Okay? One of the apostles. But he is definitely not really blood related to Jesus Christ by Joseph at all. Okay? So Simeon, James answered and said, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon had declared how God had the first visited the Gentiles." Simeon is Peter. Okay? Peter already spoke. And how that, you know, he quoted the scripture and in verse 16 said, "After this, let's read from verse 14. Simeon declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this I will return and will rebuild and will build again the tabernacle of David which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruin thereof, and I will set it up. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, said the Lord, who do all these things. Know unto the Lord all his work from the beginning of the world." So here now, James relating, okay, what Peter said. After visiting the Gentile, after this he will come back. And that's what we are looking at. This was a prophecy, because when God turned to the Gentile, Israel were blinded for a season. And after this, the third day, then God will bring back the gospel and visit the Jew again. So this is prophetically spoken of in the future. So now, James said, "Okay, now my sentence is this, that we do not trouble them, which were from among the Gentiles, turn to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood." So this is what the council produced. The best and know-how. Anyway, I think God was just looking down and see how these people will handle the situation. Okay, now Paul is there. Paul didn't say much. Okay, because here was this big man here. You know, James. Now who was the big man? To the Roman Catholic, who was the big man? Peter. Was it not the Peter? He was supposed to be the Pope. If Peter was the Pope, how come he was not speaking? Was no one the one who passed the sentence? But what was it, James, who passed the sentence? And this one, of course, the Roman Catholic, they know how to twist and turn off, how to manipulate with that. But we know that Peter was not the Pope. He never was the Pope. There is no such thing as the Pope. Okay, he's not the Archbishop or Bishops. No such thing. Okay, in Jerusalem, James was the one who presided over all the matter. And Peter, though, was apostle, and was the one who always spoke the most when Jesus was alive, did not preside the church in Jerusalem. You see. So, the conclusion was this: okay, we tell the Gentiles, keep away from idol. Okay, keep away from fornication and don't touch anything that was strangled or eat blood. Now, this was not something that God gave. I can tell you this was not the leading of the Holy Spirit. This was the ability of what man? God just watching, how are you going to deal with this situation? Of course, the best know how, okay, we'll just tell them, you know. Okay, no need to circumcise. What is good, God? It pleased the Father in heaven. Yeah, that's right. They don't need to circumcise. Okay, but we tell them, oh, gosh, God look down at them, okay. Why? Because these are Jews. They still have this Jewish mind. To bring something to remind a convert, this is what you should be doing. Converts who are not in the first place Jews to begin with. Who did not obey this law because they were no law. Here now the Jewish convert, the apostles, give this to the Gentile converts. Gentile, of course they receive it, they say, okay, we do it. What else? Because you're an apostle, you said, so we do it. You know, they look up to this apostle because that's how God used them at that time. You know, but we see later on it was not Paul's idea for that. You understand that? You know, Paul don't belong to this council here in the sense that he was not part of Jerusalem. Remember, he was an outcast coming in and the Holy Spirit separated, this Barnabas and Saul when they were in Antioch, not in Jerusalem. Jerome did not send them. Okay, the people, the group of believers up there, you see. In verse 21, the reason they give us that Moses of old time have in every city of them that preach him being read in the synagogue every Sabbath. So we are saying that, well, you know, these converts, this Gentile convert should know that Moses give out this law. Because why? It is being read in the synagogue, you know, and those apostolated Gentiles into Judaism heard it, understood it. And those are Gentile outside the synagogue, they probably have heard this also going on. So this is not new to them, as you say. They believe in Christ. They probably have known this law that have been read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. And so it pleased the apostle, so it was sent out and sent a company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, Silas as well. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elder and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are at which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, Cilicia, and told them that you don't have to be circumcised, okay, but it is good that you follow the law and so on. There will no other commandment will be given to you. So it seemed good in verse 35. It seemed good unto us, the apostle said, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent them for Judas and Silas, who also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost that and to us to lay upon you no other burden than this necessary thing. We lay upon him no other burden than this one. It sounds a bit strange. Huh? We lay upon him no greater burden than this one. So it's a burden. You understand? That doesn't know that it is a burden. That is why Peter said, why do we want to let ask these people to be circumcised? Huh? You know? It's a burden. So now he said, we put you no greater burden than this burden. That's all right. You know, so you must remember that the law of Moses is actually a burden. Because you have to fulfill this. You understand that? Now we don't have to fulfill all these laws. Hey, yes, we do! Because the spirit of the law of life in the gospel. And what is the burden if you consider that a burden? Of living for Christ? Is living for Christ a burden something? Some people say, yeah, it's a burden. It's not an easy road and carry all the burden. Jesus Christ said, take the cross and follow me. Yeah, you take the whole cross, right? Isn't it? But is your cross a burden? Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, there is always something you have to carry. Yes or not?
Yes.
Some people's burden is what? They sit at home, look at a computer at the stock market, they scratch their head and they crunch their feet. Is it going to fall? Is it going to rise? Is it going to fall? High rise! Oh, it's falling, it's falling. They're all going around this burden. What is your burden? You see. Alright, so the spirit of the law of life in the gospel of the word of Jesus Christ should not be a burden. It's a joy. It's a joy to live for Christ. Huh? Jesus, I take my yoke on you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy. When Jesus Christ was on the earth, did he not carry a burden? Whose burden is that he carried? Yours and mine. Right now? Yes. So why is it so difficult for us to be a Christian? To live the life of Christ. Dress right? Huh? Speak right? You know? Worship the Lord? Rejoice in the Lord? Through thick and thin. You see? Have our lives so shine before the Lord. So tell them all these, and then verse 22, Judas and Silas, being prophet also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed it. You see that? Prophet and teacher. Prophets always confirm the word. What the apostles said, okay, let this be. This is what is being brought to you by the Holy Spirit through them. And after they have taken their space, they will let go in peace from the prayer unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, he pleased Silas to abide there still. So Silas wanted to stay there. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others. And someday after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. So this is important. For the missionary, for the preacher, apostle, to always go back and re-establish. And yeah, I don't, you know, when I travel, I don't go back to the church. I don't go to church only once. If I see that there is people that are receiving with greatness of heart, I'll go back a second time, a third time. Huh? Depends on how much need that there is. So that the church will be strengthened. And that's how it grows. And of course, the Barnabas determined to take with him, with them, John, Mark, who said, John, whose name was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed with from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the wood. Do you remember? You see. And the contention was so sharp between them. Oh, Paul and Barnabas began to argue. Yeah, they were good companions together. Over John Mark's case, Paul said, no. When we move on, he returned back to Jerusalem. You know, Barnabas said, yeah, I know. He's young. You know why Barnabas wanted to choose John Mark? He's related. He's related. You see, John Mark was the son of who? Mary, who was related to Barnabas. You see, so contention. I don't know what they were arguing about. But you know, sometimes God allows something to happen. So that Paul will take Silas, and Barnabas will take John Mark, and they separate, going to different places instead of all grouping together. Separate them. You see, that's what we want to do here. The Lord used us in this fellowship. When Brother James one time came with John Mark, Brother Knight, sorry. You know, when we were out there in Africa, we have a meeting. Yeah, I tell them, you all try to go to separate places. You know, so that's one way to split up and go. You know, or sometimes when I left the place, I said, you continue from here to another country. You see, and they said, yeah, we need to go back to where we have been there before and see how the churches are doing. You know, so this is how the way, you know, we want to move. And when we send a brother like Brother Nice, a brother James Verimo over to Philippines, also, I will just leave it to the hands of the ministers there. You know, I said that you don't want to keep the brother in one place. You know, you want to let the Holy Spirit guide you all through where it is needful to get this brother to minister to another church in another place. Okay, so the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one with the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of the Lord, and they went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the church. So one went northeast, the other went southwest. Alright? So this is how the beginning of the church, how the Holy Spirit worked in the early church, so that the gospel is spread. By some means of persecution, or some means of contention, or difference of opinion over you know who to go with, and the Holy Spirit has the preeminence, and He leads as He has the Holy Spirit felt need to bring the gospel to wherever He sees fit. May the Lord bless you. Father in heaven, thank you for grace again. Thank you for thy word. It's a great blessing, Father, to know how that your Spirit, O Lord, guide your apostles in the early days to take the gospel to the different people in different places, O Lord, in Asia Minor.